Speaking of political ads that venture beyond the pale, here's one backing Vladimir Putin that was airing in the run-up to Russia's presidential race last week. A woman is sitting in a doctor's chair speaking to, well, maybe it's her gynecologist, about how she's a little bit afraid of her first time. I'll voice this over.
Понимаете, доктор, просто мне очень страшно.
You know, doctor, I'm very scared.
Я вас прекрасно понимаю.
I understand completely. Everyone is afraid the first time.
Не знаю.
I know I'm afraid, although my choice is one of love.
Этого не стоит бояться.
Then you don't need to be afraid.
Главное верить вашему избраннику, потому что вера —
because trust is love, so you can trust your choice. And then the camera closes in on a picture of Putin on Time magazine, and later she's seen happily walking to the polls. There have been a few such-like ads depicting Putin as a paragon of manly strength and a master deflowerer, I guess. Anyway, as expected, Putin won, and won, in fact, despite numerous reports of vote-counting irregularities. Oleg Kashin is a longtime reporter and correspondent for Kommersant, a Russian newspaper. Oleg, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, one reason why I ran that ad is because it struck me as both hilarious and obvious, and also perhaps a little outdated. Are people still regarding Putin as this paragon of manly virtue? I mean, he has been wearing his shirt a lot more lately.
I'm sure that all these ads are addressed to only one man, to Vladimir Putin.
So these ads are really for Putin himself.
For Putin himself, really. To tell him that a lot of people love him, girls love him, because it's important for him to think that I'm young, I'm strong, I'm a man.
Okay, we know that the journalism that matters is on television, and that is pretty much controlled by the Russian government. There have been some organizations that have been allowed to criticize, but they don't have enormous audiences. And there is also a shocking number of attacks against journalists.
Like me.
Like you, which is exactly why we have you here today, and it's such an honor to meet you. Usually it's investigative journalists who are grievously injured or murdered. You weren't an investigative journalist. Can you describe what kind of journalism you do?
Some kind of journalism of opinion and literature. Russian word is очерк. I don't know in English, maybe feature.
A feature writer.
Feature journalism.
And you wrote in the New York Times that you never claimed to be a paragon of human rights like Anna Politkovskaya or an investigative reporter like Paul Klebnikov, both dead, both killed.
Both dead, both killed, yeah.
Which is why the attack on you was so bizarre.
Because I didn't tell secrets of authority, but I named the things their own names, you know?
You called a spade a spade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was all it took.
Yes. I think I was attacked because during Putin's 10 years, free speech in Russia decreased. 10 years ago, it was normal to criticize Putin and his team. But now it's impossible, it's prohibited.
What happened to you in November of 2010?
On the night of November 2010, I came home, and near the wall of my house, I was met by two people armed by iron stick, and they made about 50 beats for me.
They struck you 50 times.
50 times, and after 3 months, I spent in hospitals. 3 months. I'm sure that a pro-Kremlin organization was the organizer of this crime. I think it was football hooligans paid by Nashi.
Nashi means ours. Mm-hmm. It is basically a kind of activist youth group that was organized under Putin to counter pro-democracy forces that were growing in the streets.
I wrote about such situation before, during the 2005, when football hooligans, fans of Spartak Moscow, was arranged by Nashi to beat activists of left organization.
Nashi hires these football hooligans, these fans of the Russian team Spartak, as mercenaries to beat.
My last article about these relations between Nashi and football hooligans was 6 months before attack.
Did they say anything when they were beating you?
No, keep silence. But if was broken my jaws, my finger and my leg, I think the message was don't write, don't tell, and don't walk.
Do you think things have improved since you were attacked in 2010?
After my attack, I think it was the first time when journalists became unified. Because in Russia there is no real journalist trade unions, for example, and other organizations. But using social networks, a lot of journalists became a unity front.
The journalists were somewhat scattered and they became a unified front after your attack.
After.
And yet you wrote shortly after your attack that nevertheless, the Russian people themselves don't seem to care very much.
Because now the level of violence in Russia is so high, none depends of journalists or not journalists.
I mean, there's so much random killing going on that journalists are among the targets hardly matters.
Yeah, in fact.
So what are the rules of the game now for journalists?
The first rule of this game is don't criticize, don't investigate, and keep silence, keep silence, keep silence. I don't want to keep silence, but I know the only way to be in safety to keep silence, silence, silence. But I'm not agree with this. During the Putin's 10 years, a lot of opposition leaders were removed from public space, and now one of the most popular slogan of Putin: "If not Putin, but nobody." And me and some of my colleagues from television, from other magazines, for example, we were organizers of riots in Moscow.
You were among the organizers of the demonstration in
Moscow? Bolotnaya and Sakharova Prospect. I was a member of organizing committee of these demonstrations.
You're becoming a politician.
I don't want to become a politician.
But an activist.
Not activist. I'd like to be a journalist. But if it's impossible, I can maybe become a writer.
What is a journalist?
Journalist is a person who tells truth.
So if you become a writer, will you still tell the truth?
No, it will be fiction. Now it's so interesting because a lot of journalists became some kind of writers, poets. It's more easy to make a poem, not a newspaper investigation.
Back in the 70s, there was the tradition of art in which the message was между линия, in between the lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think you're returning to that?
Yes, maybe, but I don't want to write between lines. I'd like to write lines and do it in Russia and not in immigration.
Do you see the potential for change?
Yes, yes, because we saw a lot of people during the demonstration in Moscow who want change and who can make change. I'm sure that Putin, he will leave Kremlin in 1 year, 2 years, not 6 years. I'm sure.
How can you be sure?
Intuition.
Oleg, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oleg Kashin is a special correspondent for the Moscow newspaper Kommersant. He's in the U.S. for a few weeks on a fellowship with the Paul Klebnikov Fund, which was founded in tribute to Forbes Russia journalist Paul Klebnikov, who was assassinated in Moscow in 2004.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.